All right. I know you're going to be asking about this. 2 days before we came here, or we flew to the U.S., I had a motorcycle accident because the pavement or the road attacked me. So, and since then, I have been, my wrist has been hurting, sometimes a lot, sometimes not so much. Okay? So, I want you to go ahead and show the first slide. Planting rice is never fun. And I came to that, I grew up in a farm as a kid. And I don't like the word, that word I don't like to use the word hate, but I hated it. You know, I hated the farm. Because it's not fun, okay? But before we go on to that, go ahead, turn to the next slide. There is a greeting that we use every night. This is night, so that is gabi. So I would like you to turn to the person on your left and right, front or back, and say, magandang gabi sa'yo, mahal kita sa Panginoon. All right. Did you get that right? Magandang gabi sa'yo, mahal kita sa Panginoon. That means, good evening to you. I love you in the, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes. All right. So, like what I said, the title. It is one of the reasons why I escaped my hometown. I really didn't like planting rice. Planting rice is very tiresome. It is very toilsome. It is a laborious activity. Year in, I mean year out. We plant rice 2 times a year, and it is a very hard work. It starts with preparing your seedling only to uproot them again and then plant them again. That's how you plant rice. You know, it's not just throwing the seeds and let them grow. It is planting them, uprooting them, and then planting them again. And of course, to toil or to till the soil is also very hard. You have to, or when I was growing up, everybody worked because there was no machineries. Okay? It is you, you know, that's how we plant rice. You are, your back is bent all day. Go ahead. You know, and you and your carabao, many of you call them water buffalo. Okay? We call them carabao, or not caribou, carabao. Okay? There's a big difference between those two. Again? But, you know, that's how we harvest rice. And we have, for you, you have one, you know, when you say rice, it's rice, right? But we have different names. I don't know how many names for rice. We have rice for leftover, I mean, name for leftover rice. We have a name for burned rice. We have a name for uncooked rice. We have a name for rice that is growing. We have different names for rice, and we have different kinds, a few different kinds of rice. And it doesn't stop there. Planting rice doesn't stop there. Okay? You irrigate, you uproot unwanted grass, and you make sure that no pest or birds come and eat your rice. Okay, and very few Filipinos have, you know, I have seen your farm here. They are extensive. They goes on forever, you know, as far as you can see. Man, I wish I had that kind of farm. But for Filipinos, if you have 2 hectares of rice field, you are well off. 2 hectares would be about 4 acres. Okay. All right. So then there comes the waiting after the planting. You wait and wait, hoping that it won't rain so hard that it floods your field, hoping that there will be no droughts, hoping that there will be no pestilences or any kinds of that to destroy your rice field. And of course, we also have thieves. You know, they come just one night before the harvest day. They come and harvest your rice. Thieves come and harvest your rice. So the harvest time comes with a sickle in your hand. You cut rice, and sometimes you cut your fingers. You know, like the picture we have seen. You know, and of course, the fun of it is when everybody in the family. I have 9 siblings, that includes me. We could have been 18 if everybody lived. Okay? So the fun of it is when every individual in the family come together and harvest those rice. And of course, your neighbors, your friends, and everybody just have fun harvesting the rice. Tonight, I want to share you the picture of the heart of Jesus Christ toward the harvest. And our text is Matthew chapter 9, 35 to 38. And I believe many of you are familiar with this verse. Okay, it shows the motivation of Jesus' ministry. Why Jesus did the things he did? Because of what he said in this passage. He is still doing that today. He is still he wants us to be involved in that kind of harvesting. He wants us to become not just planters of rice, planters of the seed, but he wants us to become involved in the harvesting. And you and me, okay, we are part of this harvesting business. And he wants us to be, he wants you and me to be in that, to have a part in that, okay? And to spread the good news of salvation, okay? So let me read to you the passage. Matthew chapter 9, 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Sometimes we avoid that part, right? You know, well, there's no more miracle today. You know, God can no longer heal sicknesses. You know, sometimes we ignore that. But I believe when the gospel is preached, every disease can be healed. I'm not saying should be healed. Can be healed. Because the business of Jesus Christ is not just proclaiming the good news. It is healing the diseases that we have. May it be spiritual, may it be physical. Let's move on. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, and this is our key verse, the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. I want you to internalize that. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And verse 38, he said, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. So how do we join in with Jesus Christ, and what can we do to be that person? To be in the business of Jesus Christ of harvesting. First, let me share with you. I must see the harvest as Jesus sees. How do you see people? How do you see people around you? How do you relate to them with regard to your Christian faith? It is, you know, I have come to a conclusion that in this country, okay, I believe that it can be very, very hard to be genuine in your faith. Because of you are surrounded with so many things, many distractions. This country can be materialistic. In the Philippines, it is easy because when your stomach is empty, Lord, I need food, right? But in this country, you have, and my wife and I always talk about, you know, they have everything, or they have something for everything, even for a small screw, you know? So it is hard. So I must see the harvest as Jesus sees the harvest. So the Bible says, but when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. What does compassion mean? Okay, he did not just see them as human beings. He saw their needs. Right? Not just human beings. He saw their needs. He saw beyond the faces of people. He saw beyond the people's appearances. He saw their needs. He compared them to sheep with no shepherd, harassed and helpless. That's it. No more, no less. He compared them, these people were confused, they were hopeless. He saw them as blinds led by another blind people. You know, may it be political or may it be religious, these people, blind people, are leading blind people. They are weary, they were desolate, they were defenseless, and they were in need of someone who can lead them to the Lord. Jesus knew that they were without God, therefore they were without hope. You know? So, consequently, the people are left weary, desolate, and defenseless, and of course, they were without salvation. They know nothing about the salvation of God. So, do you see people like that in your campus? I do. Do I see people like this in the Philippines? Everywhere. You know, do we feel compassion for them? Jesus saw the multitude and he had compassion. That is the compassion that Jesus had. And he immediately told his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. In our world where... You know, I was hesitating to put this, but I will say it anyway. In our world where politically correctness is the new God, right? I know, it is happening in the Philippines. The politically correctness is the new God. It is hard to say, okay, without Jesus, there is no salvation. It is becoming harder, even in the Philippines, it is becoming harder and harder to say, you have to receive Jesus Christ, you have to make him your Lord in order to be saved. But that is the essence of this passage. That is the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The rice farmers and all farmers with this regard, when they plant the seed, they are looking forward to the harvest time, right? Who would plant a wheat or a potato, all right, and doesn't look few months from now for the harvest time? That's silly, right? You have to be looking forward to that harvest time. When Jesus saw these people, hopeless people, he did not see them as always being in that situation. He saw them as being full. Okay? He did not see them always being in that situation, but saw them being transformed. He saw them being saved. He saw them being sinners who are forgiven. He saw them living their life to the fullest. The guilty being set free, the unforgiven being forgiven. Instead of moaning, groaning, and complaining about the bad state of our society, of our world, he magnified the hope that this people has. Let me give you a very good example. Okay? The way we see harvest in the Philippines. Okay, go ahead. Next slide. This is the situation we have in the Philippines. Unemployment in the Philippines is not getting any better. Okay? We thought that having a new president, everything will get better. It is worse. All right? Secondly, about 30% of the working population is either unemployed or underemployed. That's the situation we have in the Philippines. One third of the population lives on $1 a day or less. You know, I was going to show a video, but it will probably take a lot of time. one of every 10 Filipinos seek employment outside the country. One out of every 10. We have about 90 million people in that very small country. You know, Philippines is as big as the state of California. But we have 90 million people in that country. The whole country is experiencing what we call brain drain. That means all the people who are smart are getting out of the country and seeking employment outside the country. Inventors, medical workers, they are all going out of the country. Now, if you see that, you might say, that's bad, right? That is really bad. But for me as a campus minister, I should say, I don't see that way. Because I want to see the way God sees things in His kingdom. This is God's view, I believe, of the harvest. The more people going out from our country, the more opportunity to spread the gospel. That is the way I see the harvest, not only in the Philippines, but around the countries or around the world. Okay? So we must see the way Jesus sees about the harvest. Secondly, I must feel what Jesus feels. What did Jesus feel when he saw the crowd harassed? He had compassion, okay? He was moved with compassion for them. The word compassion means to feel the pain of another person in your heart. It is putting your feet in their shoes. That is what the word compassion means. Jesus was sick at heart, burdened and broken over what he saw. And in fact, in Luke chapter 19, verse 41, he says, now as he was drawing near to Jerusalem, this was the triumphal entry, he saw the city and wept over it. You know, there were times when I visit those universities in the Philippines and see those hundreds of students swarming in or going out from their classes. You know, how many, I cannot help but think and ask myself, how many of these students do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And it melts my heart, and I am overwhelmed and don't know what to do. Jesus was sick at heart. So we need Christians whose hearts are moved to the spiritual lostness of people. And to be spiritually lost is not, you know, you are lost. No, to be spiritually lost is to be out of relationship with Jesus Christ. That is spiritually lost. You know, you may be going to a church, you may be raising your hands and praising God, but if you do not have that personal relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, you are spiritually lost. We need Christians, we need broken-hearted people who will weep over their lost neighbors, lost friends, and lost family. And we desperately need people who will weep over their cities, their communities, their nation, and nations around the world. And I challenge you. You know, we have a lot of this Joshua Project, for example. They put nations that you can pray for. They put the needs in those nations, and you can pray for every nation. You can adapt, actually, a nation for you to pray every day. And I challenge you to pray for the nations. Third, number three, what can we do to be involved in this harvest? I must do what Jesus did. It is useless to talk about it. It is useless to just tell people I am praying about it. You must do something about what you have heard tonight. We are told in verse 36, he was moved with compassion for them. The word compassion or that compassion led to action. Not only for Jesus Christ, but also for his disciples. First, he asked them to pray for laborers. Verse 38, if there's going to be a great reaping of the harvest, it will be because of God, not because of us as laborers. It is because of God. So we need to be praying. Ask, therefore, the Lord of the harvest. Okay? It is because of people praying for the harvest. And let me take this opportunity. I want to thank you. You had this seven-day prayer. You know, Pete was talking about how you have formed this and how you are, every night you are praising God, you are praying about the Philippines. I want to thank you because during that time, I was at loss. You know, one of our campus ministers left for Sweden, Benguet State University was not doing very well. I was feeling guilty. I was every untoward feelings I had. But when Pete said, we are praying for the Philippines, students are praying for the Philippines. And one of you wrote to me and asked, can you send pictures? Can you send the prayer request? And that's when I felt the hand of God carried me. And he told me, it is going to be okay. And it is the same time that the person whom I have been praying for to become the campus minister came in, and we talked, and we just set things down so that the campus ministry that we have in Benguet State University is going to be okay. So thank you very much for your prayers. All right? So every success we have in this business of God based on the power of God. Without the power of God, without prayer, everything that we do will be useless. So thank you very much. Next, he asked them to go as laborers. All right? It is through prayer that we will gain the compassion we need to see the harvest as they truly are. And it is through prayer that we will see that there is going or great potential in the harvest. You know, there is great potential. In the Philippines, when the rice become golden yellow, you know that it is harvest time. You know? But when that rice field is dark and it's filled with water, you know that you're not going to harvest anything. So, and it is through prayer that we will ask for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. So this is my, I want to leave this to you. When you prayed that week, when you prayed for Philippines, when you prayed for this ministry, when you prayed for all the Christians in the world, all right? It is not that you are trying or asking God to do something. It is that you were asking God to change you. So be careful what you pray for. All right? Be careful what you pray for. When Jesus said, pray for laborers, he was saying to you, go. When Jesus said, pray for laborers, he was saying, get off your chair and go. So as if Jesus was saying, because there is a shortage of laborers, so as you are praying, go. Do you see that? So as you are praying for your friend, you're not just praying for your friend. You are going to go and talk to your friend. Talk to him about the salvation, about the love, about the hope that Jesus offers into their lives. So be careful what you pray for. I mean, I like that, okay? When you pray, I mean, go ahead and pray. But when you pray, be sure that your heart is open to the calling of God. Because there will be, I mean, God will be in there asking you, not just praying, but to go and do something about the harvest. Okay, reaping a harvest among sinners is a hard work. Telling your faith to your friend is, it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of sweating. It takes a lot of making yourself available to someone else. That's why, you know, if you are unwilling, you might as well stop praying. Because when it is time to harvest, everything is secondary. When it is time to harvest the souls that Jesus prepared for you to harvest. Everything is secondary. Your education will be secondary. Your family will become secondary. The people that you love the most will be secondary. Because Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who are lost. Those are the people who are close in Jesus' heart. And He is asking us to become His laborers. He is asking us that set aside everything that is important to you because those people are very, very important to me. So, what I want you to see tonight is open up your eyes to the vast field of harvest. It may be ISU, it may be your friends, your families, your nation, and maybe the world. Maybe some of you will become missionaries. Maybe some of you will become campus ministers, Christian workers. But, you know, open up your eyes. Because God is calling you. I want you to lift up any kind of personal limitation that would limit us and look at the enormous harvest before us. It may be age. I'm too young. No. Maybe you may say, you know, I'm not fit. I am unhealthy. No. Maybe I am not educated enough. I don't know much of the Bible. I don't know much of Christianity. I am not fit to harvest in the field of God. When God calls you, everything becomes secondary. I want you to see the urgency to the task. It is urgent. This business is urgent. Never say there is plenty of time because people are dying every day. People are dying every day. Only one-third of the population of the world believe in God. Most of them are found in Asia. Only one-third. Most of those people who do not believe in God are found in Asia. India and China alone has over 2 billion people. India and China, they are in Asia. And we are their neighbors. And I am here to say we need help over that part of the world. We desperately need help. You know, we are called the only Christian nation in Southeast Asia. I don't believe that. You know, we may be called the only Christian nation, but we are still baby, in a sense, in sending out people to become missionaries. We need help. We just don't need your finances. We need people who can come and lead us and be work with us side by side to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, to harvest the people that God has prepared before us. And I want to challenge you tonight to involve yourself in the harvest. Anything that you can do, it may be praying. It may be praying for a missionary. It may be praying for a student over in our in the Philippines. You know, our logo, our slogan, I should say, at Encounter in Philippines is, we reach, we develop, we send. That's what we are trying to do. But again, like what I said, we need help. Will you be a part of this ministry? Will you be a part of sharing, harvesting the souls that God prepared for us to do? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you very much, Father, for giving me an opportunity, God, to stand up before these students. Lord, to share the need to harvest, O Lord, the souls that you have entrusted to us. God, I pray that you will raise up workers. You will raise up prayer warriors. You will raise up missionaries. Lord, you will raise up evangelists, O Lord, from this campus. O Lord, I pray that this campus will be open to your word, to your gospel. That God, you will overpower, Lord, the power of Satan in this campus. That, Lord, it will become free, and Lord, that this campus will become the launching pad for your good news. Not only in this country, God, but even in Asia, in the Philippines. Thank you very much, God, and I declare blessings upon these students. I declare blessings upon the leaders. I declare blessings, O Lord, upon Pete, upon Ben, upon Phil, and all the student leaders who are here. Thank you very much, God. And we thank you for the blessings. We thank you, God, for all what you have done in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you all.